John chapter 20, I was finishing reading my Bible in 2019, and one of the chapters that I read was John chapter 20. John chapter 20 is a scripture that we typically go across and come across during the Easter season. And don't always think of it as a message, particularly this part, that wouldn't be something outside of that. But the Lord spoke to me about this, and I want to share this with you. John chapter 20 and verse number 10. John chapter 20 and verse number 10. We'll read a few verses here. The Bible said, "Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her." Tonight, with the Lord's help, I want to preach a little while on this idea and this thought. Stay a little longer. Stay a little longer. Father, in the name that is above every name, I pray, oh God, that you'd help us. I pray, God, that you'd make preaching easy for us, touch our voice. God, may we be a help and encouragement to your children tonight. Lord, help us to be what you'd have us to be. Give us, Lord, those things that you have for us here tonight. We thank you. We bless you for all you've done and, God, what you're going to do. We ask these things in the name that is above every name. In Jesus' name we pray tonight. Amen. Amen. We live in a time and we live in an environment. We live in a society that everything's on a timer. Everything has to be done so-so and so quickly, it seems. However, I'm of the belief that when you go to church, you ought to go to church to get in, not to get out. I'll say that one more time. When we go to church, we ought to go to church to get in, not to get out. So many times we go to church just waiting to leave. I wish that old windbag would hurry up and hush up so I can get out of here and I can go. And I'm not for dragging on. I'm not for going on, long just to go long. I think you ought to say what God's told you to say and shut up and sit down. Amen. It ain't no use in beating that dead horse over and over again. But I'm afraid that we come to church many times with the attitude, many times with the idea that, man, I'm just going to go and do my thing, and then I got other stuff to do. I've got things to go to. I got people to see. I got roasting the other. I got all this stuff going on, and I'm just going to get in, or I'm just going so I can get out of there. Not going to go and get in. Got to thinking about Mary as I was reading this. The Bible said in verse number 10, the disciples went away to their own home. But she stuck around. She stayed there. She was there in a graveyard, at a tomb, and she didn't know what all was transpiring at this moment, this time. She just knew that she wanted to go to where he was. And when she did, notice her discovery. Look in verse number one. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Now she goes there after that Jesus has been crucified, after they've taken him hurriedly, have prepared the body, put him in the tomb, Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, a tomb no one had laid in. By the way, it's the only tomb that's ever borrowed. It's the only tomb that was ever used just 3 days. Yep. Hallelujah. Can you see it on eBay? Can you see it in the one hands? For sale too. It's just been used 3 days. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm glad that's his name. I bet he did not stay in that tomb, but he got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave on that first Easter morning. Her discovery. Mary came to the tomb before daylight. When she arrives, she finds the stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty. Immediately she runs to find the disciples and tells them that the body of the Lord is missing from the tomb. They heard this news. Peter and John ran to the tomb to see what had happened. When they arrived, they both saw the linen clothes lying and there folded. That's a whole message for a whole other time. Whenever in the Jewish culture, when you were done with the meal, Nathan, if you were finished and you were done with the meal and you were leaving, you were done, you just wad up your napkin and throw it in the plate. However, if you were coming back, you'd take your napkin, you'd fold it in such a fashion, and you'd lay it on your plate to let the servers know, let everybody else know, I'm not done. I'm coming back. Hallelujah. I'm glad he was just telling us, I'm not done. I'm coming back. Amen.
Amen.
But they walk in there. They find the linen clothes lying there. They find them folded up. And it appears that John, in verse number 8, I don't have it there, but I'll read it to you. Verse number 8 says this. And then they then went in also that other disciple, talking about John, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. And so he believed what Jesus had been saying. However, there was still a lot of uncertainty surrounding exactly what is going on. You know, it's easy for us to look back. People say hindsight's 20/20. It's easy to look back and see and trace the hand of God and see where he moved and what he did when you look back. But sometimes in the middle of it all, you don't know what in the world's going on. You don't know what God's doing. You don't know what God's up to. But I'm glad, hallelujah, I can trust him. I'm glad, hallelujah, he knows what he's doing tonight, and we can trust God. Well, appreciate that, brother. I'm going to get me a bottle of water one of these days.
I was coughing the same way last night.
Hallelujah. Her discovery. She found that Jesus The body was gone. She goes there expecting that she, you know, the Bible says that they wanted to go and prepare the spices, they wanted to go and prepare the body like it needed to be prepared and all that. That was their idea. That's the reason that she went there. Raymond, she did not go there with the intention, she did not go there with the mindset that Jesus is going to be alive. She went there thinking he'd still be dead. But I'm glad, hallelujah, God keeps his word whether we believe it or not. God keeps his word whether we have faith in it or not. I'm thankful, hallelujah, that my God is a God that doeth all things well.
Amen.
And so she goes there expecting him to be dead. She goes there expecting to prepare the body, to do what she can for him. Now that he's dead, God has another plan. And I'm thankful that when the disciples left, Mary stayed a little longer. I want to look at that tonight and think about that. When is the last time that we prayed so long that it was awkward? When's the last time we stuck around at the feet of Jesus so long everybody else had left? And I'm not telling you that there's something super magical or spiritual and praying until everybody else leaves the altar. You pray just as long as God tells you to pray. But I will say this, there are times, Brother Glenn, that under the pressure and under the burden and under the need, that you've got to stay at his feet a little while longer.
Yeah.
That when everybody else has said their prayer, they're ready to go, and that's fine. But you just still need to do business with God. There's still some things that you've got to talk to God about. I would say that there was a special blessing for Mary. Mary received some things that the disciples did not get because she stuck around a little bit longer. Yeah. Because she was willing to stay around a little bit longer. Verse number 10 said that the disciples went home, but Mary stuck around a little longer. Her devotion. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Give me verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. She had a devotion about her. This is the same Mary that was a harlot. This is the same Mary that has been forgiven. I found that people that's been forgiven of much love him a whole lot. Lord help. Here it is, first day of the year, and I don't want to be mean. But I don't have time for a pharisaical crowd that will look down their nose at everybody, forget about where they came from. Forget about that they one time had a problem. They one time had a struggle. They one time had difficulties in their life that God delivered them out of. And they've forgotten all of that. Give me some people that know they were broken. Give me some people that know they're messed up. Yep. Give me some people that just love him. Why? Because he loved us. Give me a crowd that'll make up their mind. I'm going to love him. I'll worship him. Because he loved me when I was down to nothing. The Bible said this in Romans 5, verse number 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, he didn't die for me with a towel. He didn't die for me with the King James Bible tucked under my arm. He didn't die for me up in the baptistry. He died for me when I was messed up. He died for me when I was out doing Lord knows what. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that God saw me at my worst. And he said, I'll give my best so that you can do everything that I've purpose for you. Hey, I say bless his name for some people that still just love him because he loved us. Mary, she showed up there and she came and she stayed around a little while. I don't think that John nor that Peter, neither one of them did love him. I believe they both did. In fact, the Bible said John was the disciple whom Jesus loved.
Yeah.
He, Joe often preached this years and years and years ago, and it stuck in my mind every time I think about John. He's the disciple that stood when others didn't stand. He sat where others didn't sit. He served where others didn't serve. He saw what others didn't see.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. I'm talking about John the Revelator. He saw things that nobody else got to see because he was willing to sit where nobody else would. He was willing to stand where nobody else would. He took Mary, the mother of Jesus, in his own home as his own mother.
Yeah.
And can you imagine the stories that she had to tell? Can you imagine the fellowship she had with him? Because he was willing to get where nobody else was.
Oh,
because he was willing. They said, John, we got to ask Jesus something. Will you do it? You ever have somebody? You got somebody in your life that you need something in your life, and you need God to do something. You call them because you know that they can get a prayer through.
Oh, yeah.
You know that they can ask God, and God will listen to them. Hey, would you pray about this for me? Would you ask God to do this? Well, John and Peter, no doubt, they both loved the Lord, but Mary stuck around. Why? Just because she loved him. Her whole world is upside down. She has no idea what she's going to do. And she stuck around in a graveyard. She stuck around looking into a dark tomb. And then she decides, well, I'm actually going to go and look in there and see what's going on. Brother Glenn, because she stayed a little longer, she saw something that they did not see.
Amen.
See, they saw the linen clothes folded up, but they didn't see those angels.
No.
She did. They heard a message. Or she heard a message, rather, they didn't hear. The angels didn't talk to them.
No.
Talked to Mary. Then she met somebody. Say, didn't me. She was the first one to see the resurrected Savior.
Yes.
Because she was willing to stay around.
Amen.
She is willing to stay a little longer. I want to ask you for 2020, how many of us would say, you know what? It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. There's going to be times that it's going to be a lot easier to do something else, but God, by your grace, I'm going to stay around your feet just a little bit longer. And there's nothing sinful about what the rest of them's doing. But Lord, I'm just going to pull apart for a while. God, I'm going to stay around a little longer. Because I cannot live without hearing the message. I cannot live without seeing what you've got for me. Mary's outside the tomb thinking the body's stolen. She finally takes a look in the tomb. To her surprise, she sees angels at the feet and at the head of where Jesus' body should have been. She still doesn't get it at this point. What she was seeing did not line up with what she knew had happened. She knew she watched him die on that cross. She knew she watched him pierce his side. She knew he was beaten like no other man had been beaten. She knew they wrapped him up and laid him in that tomb. And people like that don't come back. But she also, something in the back of her mind rang, and she could not forget what he had said. She could not get past what he had said. The angels asked her, why are you crying? Why? What do you believe about this man? These questions are leading her into an area where God's trying to get her to think. At this point, Mary cannot believe. She doesn't believe. Well, we thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was the Savior. We thought he was the one that would come. But now he's dead. She could not believe things had happened the way there was. But she did know, way down deep in her heart, she loved Jesus. And she loved the Lord. And that is what kept her around, Nathan. That's why she stayed a little longer. Let me ask you this. What is it that drives you to the feet of Jesus? What is it that drives me? What is it that drives us to the feet of Jesus? You know, I've been in this thing now for long enough to know that there are people that can guilt you into serving. There are people that can guilt you into, you ought to read your Bible through every year. That's a wonderful thing to do. Tom Hayes said this, it's better that our Bible reads us through. Instead of just saying, I'm going to read four chapters today, I'm going to read the Word of God and let the Word of God speak to me today. Let God's Word speak to you, even if it's just a chapter. Even if it's not even a chapter. Read the Word of God and let it speak to you. But there's some people that will guilt you into, well, if you're not reading five chapters, you're not reading four chapters, you ain't right with God. If you're not praying for 30 minutes as soon as you wake up, down on your knees on the hardwood floor, then you're not right with God. I mean, if you don't do these things, you're not right with God. There's a lot of people who make you feel that way. And there's a lot of people that'll follow that for a while. For a little while. Then they're going to get tired of that. And they're going to quit. I've seen enough of them that fell under the rules and the regulations. They did it for a while. But it wasn't in their heart anymore. No. But I know a crowd that just loved him. And ain't nobody's got to beat them over the head and say, y'all be reading your Bible every day. Y'all be praying. I'm going to talk to him.
Yeah.
You remember when you was dating, Brother Ronnie? You and Miss Rebecca started sparking. Y'all didn't think I knew the terms, did you? They started sparking. And man, he's sweet on her. And I don't know exactly how it worked. In your situation, but I'd imagine there's probably a few phone calls that was made. There's probably many a conversation that was had between you and your sweetie because you loved her. Man, nobody had to twist your arm to make you talk to her. You wanted to talk to her. By the way, she wanted to talk to you too. I hope it's still that way. Hallelujah. Amen. Kelly and I made it. And I've told you this story, but I had to go about seven counties away to find somebody that married me, Brother Glenn. And Kelly and I started dating, and it was long distance for her to call me. It was long distance for me to call her, but I figured out a trick with my cell phone. I could forward the phone call up there and call for free. And so, I'm getting ready to say this on the internet. But she couldn't call me. It was against the rules. She couldn't call me. They weren't allowed to do that. Some of y'all probably had the same rules. You want the girls didn't call boys. But what she would do, she'd call and let it ring one time and hang up. And that was my signal. She wanted to talk. I'd call her up and we'd talk for hours. She had to twist my arm. I'd have to twist her arm. We'd want it. I don't need to twist your arm. If you love Jesus, if we love Jesus like we say we do,
hey,
ain't nobody needs to twist your arm.
Amen.
We ought to want to talk to him.
Amen.
We ought to want to spend time with him.
Amen.
Brother Nathan, outside of prayer, the greatest way that God speaks is right here. Spending time in his word. You know, I think that's why the devil likes to fight so much. Guys, keep us from reading the Word of God, because that he knows that's how God will speak to us. He knows that that's how God can do a work in our life. But her devotion, she wanted to be around Jesus. She wanted to be where he was. Now, things have not gone according to plan. Things have not gone like she thought they would. She was disappointed. It would have been easy for her to turn her back. It would have been easy for her to go home when Peter and John did. Well, they're not staying. I don't know why I should. For Mary, how many people turn their back on Jesus because they feel like he let them down?
Yeah.
How many people give up and say, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore because things didn't turn out like I thought they should. Miss Carolyn, I don't have to tell you, you've had enough detours. You've had enough things that happened in your life that didn't come out and turn out like you thought they would. But I'm thankful we've got a God that's bigger than us. We've got a God that knows more than us. We've got a God that's wiser than us. We've got a God that knows exactly what he's doing. And when it'd be the easiest thing to turn our back, thank God for some people that will stay a little longer. Thank God for people that just make up our mind, I'm going to stick around a little while longer. I'm going to see what God does in this situation. Mary, it had been a good time for Mary to walk away, but she doesn't. How many people have faced disappointment rather than just walked away from the Lord? I read a story about a family that lost 3 children to diphtheria in the same week. Only the 3-year-old girl escaped the disease. The following month was Easter. And on Easter Sunday morning, the mother, the father, and the child, the 3-year-old child, attended church. Because the father is the Sunday school superintendent, he led a session where the classes met together. He read an Easter scripture from the Bible. Many were weeping, but the father and the mother were calm and at great peace. When Sunday school was over, a teenage boy was walking home, or when church was over, rather, was walking home with his father and said, you know, that man, the superintendent, and his family, his wife, they sure must believe that Easter story. And the father looked at his son and said, well, all Christians believe the Easter story. And he said, Daddy, not the way they do. You know, there's hope for people that have gone through some stuff, that have lost some stuff, that the resurrection means a hallelujah, means a whole lot more to them. Thank God for some people that would just stay around a little bit longer. Wouldn't it be easy to throw in the towel? Wouldn't it be easy to quit? Wouldn't it be easy to turn back? I thank God for some people that just make up our mind. I will stay around at the feet of Jesus just a little bit longer.
So you get us that.
How does our devotion to the Lord speak in times of crisis? When our world falls apart, are we the kind of people that will stick around just a little bit longer? I'll give you this last one, I'll be done. Look in verse number 16. The Bible said, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples what she had seen, that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. Her delight. She cries out, Master, Teacher, Rabboni. She sees him. She tries to grab him. He tells her, no, don't touch me. I'm not yet ascended to just a little doctrine here. When Jesus was crucified, he gave up the ghost. He cried out, it is finished, Telestai. He gave up the ghost. He laid down his life. The Bible said that he descended first, that he would ascend. He went to where paradise. Remember when the thief on the cross was there, and he said, "Lord, when you come to your kingdom, remember me." He said, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." He went down to paradise, led, the Bible said, led captivity captive. And when he was getting ready to go up to heaven, some songs say this, and I'm not the kind of person to get up and just harp about stuff, but some songs are talking about the blood being spilled. There wasn't one drop ever spilled. Every drop was shed on purpose. By the way, it didn't. Hallelujah. He took the blood and went to the mercy seat that is in heaven. And just as the high, hallelujah, just as the high priest would take the hyssop branch and walk in there and sprinkle the blood all over the Holy of Holies, Jesus, he went into the Holy of Holies in heaven and he sprinkled the blood. How do you know that, preacher? Why do you believe that? I'll tell you why I believe that, Brother Raymond. Because the Bible said we can go boldly into the throne of grace. I'm glad that I can go before him any old time. I'm not deserving of it. I don't have the merits in it. I'm not clean enough. I'm not sanctified enough. But his blood covers the mercy seat. And I can go before a holy God. Now, Jesus said, "Don't touch me. I'm not yet ascended to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." Can you imagine what she may have felt like? She's the very first person to see the resurrected Savior. What's going through her mind at this point? Well, how's she feeling? She's just a minute before, she thought it was the gardener. Just a minute before, the angels were talking, said, "Where have you laid him? I'll go and get him. I'll take care of him." I don't know how big Mary was. I don't know how big Jesus was. But I imagine Jesus was a normal-sized man, and Mary's probably a normal-sized lady. Now, if you go to picking up somebody that's dead, and it don't matter really how strong you are, it's a hard thing to do. But Mary never had a second thought about it. Said, "It don't matter what it costs. It don't matter what it takes. I'm going to take care of my Lord. I'm going to do something that I can do for him." Little did she know she'd never need to touch. Hallelujah. She'd never need to touch that body. He was already alive and well. And he speaks to her as she sees him for who he is. Aren't you glad for times when God speaks to you and calls you out by name? I'm thankful for the times when my life's upside down. My life's in wrecks and ruins. And he whispers my name. And I know he's talking to me. He calls me by my name.
Amen.
Jesus is standing there right in front of her. Jesus, he is who he said he is. He's done what he said he'd do. Now, tell him again. Now he gives her a mission. He said, "Go and tell the disciples. Go and tell the rest of the world that I'm alive and well. I am who I said I am. I did what I said I'd do." Why? Because she stayed a little longer. Now, I want us to stand tonight. I wonder how many of us, maybe we've gone through situations like Mary. We've gone through times where we're disappointed, we're disillusioned. We've gone through times where we're saddened, where our emotions are a wreck. We don't know, but we do know we love him. I wonder how many of us will come slip around this altar tonight and say, "God, I want to stay a little longer." Come on.
How many of us come on and just say, God, I want to be the one that sticks around a little bit longer. God, I want to see, I need to see you do some things in my life. I need you to do some things in my heart. God, whatever it takes, whatever the price may be, whatever the cost is, God, I want to stay around a little bit longer. God, help me. Show me things in my lingering time. Show me things in my struggling times. I need you tonight.